Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 28. We're in the middle. I want to go back to verse 11. Well, the prophet Yeshaya is talking to the people of the tribes of Yehuda. And in a certain way, we have this with the in the Torah after the death of the sons of Aaron, that Hashem talks to the remaining children, and that's the time to warn them. When you see what happened to the others when they weren't careful, so it makes a more powerful lesson. When somebody sees what something could lead to or something could happen, and here the 10 tribes were going to be destroyed and wiped out, and then the hope was that the tribe of Yehuda would be able to withstand and not commit the same type of errors. But eventually they succumbed as well. And he's predicting what's going to happen, how the kingdom of Yehuda would have a downfall. What's interesting is that the people were observant. Today we look at it largely, if you're observant, you're religious, and if you're not observant, maybe you are, maybe you're religious in some ways, maybe in others, or you're not religious at all. But if you keep the mitzvahs, then that means that you're observant. That's why you do it. But the kingdom of Yehuda kept the mitzvahs. They didn't work on Shabbos. They didn't plow their fields on Shabbos. They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat shrimp. Those were not part of the national diet. But the people had become corrupted, and therefore they really weren't serving Hashem. They weren't practicing justice. They weren't taking care of the poor, and their outlook on the mitzvahs was wrong. So he criticizes it. This is verse 10. We're going to see it again in like two more lines, that people were just saying the mitzvahs kitzav litzav kav lekav. It was, each mitzvah was, oh no, another command, another thing. It was like a burden. They looked at the mitzvahs like a burden. One thing the Hasidic movement has emphasized is the joy of mitzvahs. In other words, the that if a person works on his outlook and he develops a mitzvah, he can find great joy in a mitzvah. We don't believe the mitzvahs are like, do it because it's a good deed, but even though you can't stand it and it's not fun, just do it anyways, right? Well, the truth is we do it, but we're supposed to find meaning to it.
They're not a punishment,
that's right. But there are people that take it that way, like, you have to leave this difficult. Some people say, I feel bad for you, you have to keep Shabbos. It's like the opposite. I feel bad. I don't know how you could, because they view it as like, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you can't have your cell phone on, and you can't have, can't go shopping, and you can't mow the lawn, and what a wonderful day. But they it's an outlook that, oh, another mitzvah. So a tzav is a command. I got to do this, I got to do that. And a kav is like a restriction. There's a, it's like, apparently they had like a measuring line, and you would be able to work until a certain place. The measuring line is something that you don't, that's what it means, a line for a line. Okay. Exactly what to watch how they built, but it was like a line where they, means go no further. This is the line. So they looked at, every time they wanted to do something, they could go no further. But it wasn't that Hashem loves us and He's protecting us by giving us these commandments. One of the happiest blessings we do is when we make a Shechianu, that we feel fortunate to have lived to do another command, to do another mitzvah. Verse 11. Ki debalage safa belashna cheres. And the leaders, when they speak, white man speak with forked tongue. Mm-hmm. It's an old tradition that politicians do a lot of double speak. Mm-hmm. In other words, they speak this way. The leaders, they speak with a distorted kind of speech. They don't speak respectfully, or they don't. That's the way the people speak, the leaders speak to the people. Verse 12. Asher Omer Aleihem Zos HaMenucha. The prophets were trying to speak to the people and say to them that the Torah that they have, it will be, it's good for them. This is true rest. Hanicha LaYayas. And like, it's almost like we live in like a rat race and we're weary. And if you'll only listen, if you'll only hear the commandments, then you'll find contentment. Really, that's what life is about. We all look to be content. We all look to be happy. We look to have meaning in our lives. And the prophets would try to speak to the people, and they would say, this is how you'll find your menucha. You'll find your rest, your contentment. But people wouldn't listen. They couldn't listen. Verse 13. V'hayu lehem d'var Hashem, and the words of God were, tzav l'tzav, oh, I should listen to you, you're going to make it harder. Another mitzvah, another command, another measure, another kavah, zersham, l'man yelchu l'kisholu, and because the people had this attitude that the mitzvahs were a burden to them, that they didn't want to hear anymore, they stumbled, v'nishtabru, and they broke, v'nokshu, and they were trapped. When a person, we have a tradition that at Mount Sinai, we received the Torah, and the Jewish people was unique in that we said, we will do and we will hear, and that was a great moment. You know, when we come to Shavuos, that was an amazing moment where Hashem said, I've got a lot of commitments, I want to give you something, and we said, whatever you say, Hashem, we will do. You know, we said, whatever, you know, whatever. But it says that after Har Sinai, when we left, it says that it was... it says Katinach Habareach mi Beis HaSefer, like a child runs away from school. That there were some people that left that said, all right, we better hurry up out of here before we get more commandments. You know, if we stay here any longer, who knows what they'll come up with. There is this challenge that we enjoy being at shul, but the second you get in the parking lot, you make a run for it, or you're about to get to the kiddush, there's that stampede towards the door. And it comes from two different areas. In other words, you can really thoroughly enjoy spiritual things, and at the same time, you can't wait till they're over, or at the end, there's a certain retreat from it. But when a person has to be careful, because the people were trying to retreat from it, they were a little overwhelmed by all the mitzvahs, that's why they stumbled with a golden calf. Because once they had a golden calf, they said, oh, okay, now we can make our own God, and we can, you know, forget about all those commands and all that stuff. And it was just
it got easy again.
It got easy again, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so he's describing, like I said, the way that people were looking at it, this was going to be a problem. So what is the result? Verse 14, L'chein shamu d'var Hashem. He says, therefore, listen to the word of Hashem. And who's he speaking to? Anshei Latzon, you scoffing people. And the scoffers were the skeptics. Again, the people that, they basically kept the mitzvahs, but they laughed at him, they made a joke of them, everything was a joke, nothing was serious, everything was another command. You people of Latzon, in Yiddish, they still have that aleitz. Aleitz is like a, it's somewhat, we have a lot of Jewish comedians, but there's a, it's okay to be a performer and want to make people happy. In fact, that's a mitzvah, to make cheer people up. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that a person who cheers people up doesn't take certain things seriously. In other words, you have to know when to be a comedian. A comedian is fine at the right time, but when it's time to be serious, you don't need a comedian. And that's really the difference. We have a tradition that when the rabbis used to teach classes, they used to start off with a joke, with something funny. That was a Jewish way, in other words, to that's appropriate. You're allowed to start off in a lighter way, but on the other hand, when it's time to be serious, it's not time to make a joke. And that's really, like, you know, we know that there's a time for everything, but you have to know, over here the people were like that, they were scoffers, they were jokesters, they didn't take the religion to them was a joke. Welcome. Moshe Amazir Shevishalayim. I was looking at this commentary from Rabbi Schwab on Yeshayahu. So he mentioned that he had a congregant that made a joke out of everything. And when the congregant was dying, he made, his last words were a joke. And he couldn't get over that. Like, even to the very end, that was, he was just trying to, he just wouldn't take it seriously. Instead of like saying Shema or Vidoy, he made a joke, like, you know, to the people who were there. It was like so... a person has to be careful with that kind of thing. It's very appropriate, and it's a good thing, and it's a mitzvah to cheer people up and to be upbeat and to learn to laugh at things and to laugh at oneself. No question about it. But there's certain things in life that have to be serious. And if people make a joke in those times, it's not appropriate. And so the challenge is how to be a funny person, or to be a person who likes to cheer people up and wants to get people to smile, and at the same time know when it's not appropriate. And unfortunately, many of them don't know that. You know, they're not able. There are those that can be very funny, but they know when to be serious. But here he's describing people who were just never serious. They were lutzim. They were scoffers. Nothing to them was. This English isn't great. Men of scorn. I don't think that fully conveys. It was just everything was a joke to them. It just wasn't serious.
It's more like the man who was joking.
Sense
of not joking.
Right, that's right. Again, a person just needs to have that balance of when to joke and when not. So, Kiamartim, now the people said, verse 15, Karasu bris esamavis. They weren't afraid of everything. The prophets were saying that the way of the people was leading to doom, that the Gentiles would come into Eretz Yisrael and they would kill a lot of people and they would destroy the temple, and the people acted as if that wouldn't affect them. Most people imagine that they'll never die, even though everybody dies. Everybody has, you know, we're all human. But some people imagine it never comes around, as if like they're never going to face that. Not me, you know. So the people said, "Oh, we have a promise, you know." That's not going to affect us. We have a guarantee. We're not worried about it. The Im Sha'ol, we're not worried about the place where people go. The Sha'ol is like a very deep canyon. He calls it the grave, or sometimes they call it the netherworld. It's describing like falling into a pit. So the person is not worried about death, and not worried about Asinu Chaza Shit Shoter. After we had a big storm yesterday, you kind of, when you're in a storm and that you feel the power of the hail and of the rain and of the, that was describing how the armies would come against Eretz Yisrael. It would be like a big flooding rain. Kilo Yavenu. So the people said, oh, these armies that were conquering the Middle East, these superpowers that were conquering much bigger nations than Yehuda, they were saying, we don't have anything to worry about. Lo Yavenu, don't worry. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of those armies. We're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of what the prophets say. Kisamnu kazav maksenu b'shekin nistirenu. They hid behind sheker v'kazav. Sheker v'kazav are two words which mean like false and... he calls it lies and falsehood. Sheker v'kazav. Kazav is like to deny. You know, a person's in denial. They say that's to be kazev, like they're not admitting what's true. So the people, they thought as long as we don't tell the truth, everything is okay. The communist countries were very much like that, the doublespeak, if you read like Animal Farm, or whenever they had a problem, they just said it in a different way. You know, really you don't see how it really is, you know, to some extent, even in our countries, the politicians also do the same thing with doublespeak. You know, they rephrase something, or we're having a weak recovery, or whatever. You know, or yeah, that's right. that's what was happening, and so the prophets were trying to. Sometimes, when you identify something, people won't hide behind it. And so here the prophets had been telling the people where things were leading, and the people, the leaders, weren't admitting the truth, and they were hiding behind lies, and they were saying that it's not going to happen here. So verse 16, L'chein ko amar Hashem. This is a double expression for Hashem. Hashem the Master. Hineni yasa b'tzion evan bokein pines yikra. He's going to describe that... Hashem is going to stick with the Jewish people, but he's not going to stick with the land of the Jewish people, with the government and the kingdom in Israel. And so Hashem is saying that Zion, which really refers to the Jewish people, they will be a monument, they will be a stone. Hashem has invested in us. And so even though we are going to go through, he's really going to describe what's going to happen in Gullus, the exile. And so Hashem has said, I've laid a foundation. In other words, the Jewish people has a foundation. We've laid a stone. Musad, Musad, Amami lo yafish. There's a certain path that we're going to go through, and we're going to develop as a nation. And the person that believes, he will eventually come back, and things will. It's interesting. Lo yafish means that you can't hasten it. You can't speed up the process of redemption. The somebody made a popular song like "We Want Mashiach Now," which is actually against this Chazal, which says that you can't do that. You can't tell God when to bring the Messiah. You can't speed him up. But when somebody made the lyrics, they made the lyrics. You know, what can we do? But it's not a things will come when the Hashem is ready for them. We don't lo yachish. We don't. In fact, we even say that in the Animami, Ma'afa Pi Shehis Ma'amea, even though Hashem delayed, you know, the process, the redemption hasn't come, I still hope for him at any time. V'samti Mishpat Lakav, and people will see what that there'll be justice to these commandments. Utztaka L'mishkolis, and the righteousness and justice, the Yah Bora Maxa Kaz V'Seser, and the people that are full of lies and denial, they're going to be flooded away. Things that are false do not last. They eventually are destroyed. Verse 18, the Kufa Briskem et Amavis, and those people said that they wouldn't face death, the Chazuskem as a Shoal, and they won't face the grave, Lo Tukum, it's not going to happen. Shotef, the enemies will swarm over them. It will flood over them. Tiyavar Visem Liba Mirmas, and they'll be trampled by it. By being in denial and by not admitting the truth, the person accomplishes nothing. They just put off the inevitable. 19. And Midei Avro Yikak Eskem, and when it passes, this flood, like this flash flood, it'll take you. Ki baboker baboker yavar, and the next morning it'll pass. Bayoma Balaila Vahayu Rag Zava Lahavin Shmua. There'll be some terrible, scary kinds of existence. Verse 20, Ki katzer hamatza, and things will be very narrow. Some people say this refers to the exile, where we would be brought to other countries, and we could never get comfortable. The Jews never, we would get very much at home in a country, like we were hundreds of years in Spain. And it didn't last. We were hundreds of years in Babylonia, and it didn't last. And we were in Poland. They used to say in Hebrew, the word Polan means here we will stay. And after being kicked out of England and kicked out of France and kicked out of Spain, they got to Poland and they said, this country, it's nothing will ever happen to us. And there were things that there's no Jews left in Poland today, pretty much. You know, it's 95% of the Jews in the Holocaust were wiped out of Poland. It'll be a narrow existence. We won't be able to, Jews will come to a country and feel like it's their own, and it won't last. Jews were in Portugal, Jews were in Spain, Jews were in France, Jews were in England, and it didn't. Kikatsa Meta, the bed was too short to stretch. And it'll be like a narrow existence. Now he describes a prophecy, and again he's going to describe the Gullus existence. We have challenges because it's hard for us to figure out the plan. You know, as we live, as Jews, we live in a different culture, and the culture we're in has many values that go against what we believe in. You know, we live in a very superficial society. We live in a society that doesn't necessarily value the types of things that we value. And there are Jews in the world that have live under very difficult circumstances. And we don't really necessarily understand the process of the exile. It's a time of night where things are hidden. And to some extent, he's describing that here. Ki kahar pratzim yakum Hashem, and the Jewish people, we had legends about, there were a few times in history where Hashem came to our aid and helped us defeat our enemies. And it gave us the feeling that we were indefeatable, that nothing would ever happen. Hashem would always come to our aid. So here he's going to tell us that the same miracles that helped us, now Hashem is going to make sure to help our enemies out. Ki kahar pratzim, there were at the Mount of Pratzim, that's where Hashem had helped us defeat the Canaanites. Yakam Hashem came at the Givon, and where Hashem had helped us defeat the Plishtim and Givon. Yirgaz lasos masay zor masay ula avor avdasa nechuy avdasa, and the enemies will defeat us. Ata, and now alti slow, don't make fun. Pen yaksiko mosrechem, because you'll just make it worse. Kikila v'nekretza shemata, because Hashem is going to do a complete destruction. Me'is Hashem elokim tzvachos akolor, he's going to wipe out the whole land. 22. Hezinu, really pay attention. B'shamako, listen to what I'm saying. Hekshivu. How many times can you say, listen here? Yeah, pay attention. But they're all in this verse 23. Hezinu, give your ear. Vishamo, and hear what I'm saying. Koli, to my voice. Hekshivu, Vishmati, hear what I'm saying. Hear the nuance. Hear my passion. Hear everything. 24. Hakol hayom yachresh v'achoresh lezera. Hashem plowed. In other words, when you plow, you prepare something for an important function. Do you think Hashem plows for no reason, or that he's created what he did for nothing? Or like Hashem is going to plow, he's going to punish us in a certain way, but the purpose is so that things will grow later. Hakol hayom yachresh, he's going to plow Israel for seed, yiftech v'yishadeh. Think he's going to break up the land for no reason? Hashem is going to do it so that we'll grow. Halo im shavu paneha, v'hefitz ketzak v'kamon. Kamon, by the way, is cumin, which is a Hebrew word. It's a spice, that, but the Hebrew cumin is very close to the English. You see that word, cumin. Yizag v'sham chita v'sarva nisman v'kusem v'skulasov. He's describing a farmer, where a farmer breaks up the land and scatters the seeds. Well, guess what? We're the seeds. You know, we have, the Jewish people are the seeds. When you look into societies, they you see that they've been enriched by Jews and by the values that they bring, and that the Jews that are scattered around. And it has formed us into a nation of values, but we're not there yet. Vayasru l'mishpat. And he's going to put us through a judgment. Elokav Yirenu, and he will lead the way. Ki lo b'chorot yedish, and you can't do this any other way. You can't get the sweet smelling spices. Va'ofen agala al kamon Yusuf. I suppose if I were a farmer, I would be able to tell you a little more what this is. You know how they make the cumin, but there's some special procedure in farming cumin. Again, this was a very valuable spice, but you got to have the black cumin and the white cumin. Yeah, the common machine. You got to hit it with the staff and the rod and the. I think there's a part of it that has to be separated, the chaff, and it's a whole process over here. And then he goes on to bread. Also needs to be processed. The more important something is, the more processes it has to go through until it's ready. And human food is like that. In other words, the animals, they can just eat off the grass or off the tree, but our food has to be processed and cleaned and washed and cooked and prepared and seasoned. And humans are that way too. We the process of history that we've gone through can help create us into the right kind of people. It's interesting, even Jews that are not necessarily believing Jews, meaning that they're not necessarily religious, many of them were born with certain values. They value education, they value morality. Some people say that even that's going lost. You know, but there's certain, there's the Golus experience, having suffering that the Jewish people has undergone, the sticking together, the importance of study, all of these things are values that that Jews feel, whether they're aware of how they came about or not. And there are other nations that are trying to figure that out, like the blacks. They can't, you know, they'd like to have their children be as motivated as the Jewish kids, right? You know, they'd like to figure out the recipe to. But some of it is the experiences that we've undergone in this gullus, the suffering and the mixture and the. It's a unique, the Jewish people were scattered all over the world, and then were like deposited together after being separated all these years with all these different branches of Jews that were separated for many. It's really an interesting dispersion and togetherness, but there's a purpose in it. And we won't be winnowed forever. At some point you stop winnowing and you make the bread. And so we're hoping that we're at that end of time. On 28, Lechem Yodo Kilo Lenesege. Hashem's not going to plow and winnow us forever. Bamagir, like he's going to roll the dough. Parish Lo Yudakenu. And now we get to 29. And this again, basically, it requires us to believe that there's a purpose in history. Gamzos mi'im Hashem. This winnowing is where you beat the grain and the chaff flies off and it's rolled and it's separated and it's cut. So we've undergone this kind of process. This also mi'im Hashem. This is from Hashem, Tzmokos, who has the multitude at his disposal. Yatza came out. Hifla Eitza. And it's done with a huge wisdom. Higdol Toshia. And he knows what he's doing. And so he's giving people the message. It's not just punitive. Hashem isn't going to just come against the people of Yehuda and destroy them. He has a plan in mind. He's going to put us through. So we're living 2,000 years later. You know, we were kicked out of the land once. We went through the Golos experience. And so we can look back and see, you know, had we stayed the same, we would be like all those other nations that disappeared, that worshipped idols, that lived with the values of the times, and were scorners or scoffers, or were unable to take things seriously. But this is all part of Hashem's plan. He has it figured out. We're the only nation that's still around from that time. All the other nations are basically gone. The societies we face today are modern versions. The belief systems that they have, these are all, and they keep changing. You look at the way people were in the 60s, and then the way they were in the 80s, and now the way it's totally different. And it's amazing how our society changes, yet we are still around. We're looking through history, and we're here on a mission, and we have a goal, and it's amazing looking back the different things that have happened. And so that's the perspective that Yeshayah is trying to give them. It's not all bad. It's not just that you were bad, I'm going to destroy you. No, the Jewish people was not taking things seriously, and they needed to undergo this process of the scattering amongst the different countries like the Kuman is made. And so for us, that's the understanding of this chapter 28.